Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Mully and Hall. Mornings live at 5 on Sports Radio 670 The Score. 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Here is Matt Carpenter stepping in, driving one in the air. Deep left center. Trouble, and that's long gone. Matt Carpenter with a home run off Craig Kimbrell. Castellanos trying to keep the Cubs going. He hits a high fly ball. Deep center. Back is Bader. On the track. Makes the catch. Ball game over. The Cardinals beat the Cubs 5-4 in 10 innings. Castellanos gave it a long ride just to the right of dead center, right at the edge of the warning track. Harrison Bader made the catch. And this ball game is over.
If we can get back on the field, we're gonna do everything we can to get out there and help this team win and try to put us in a position to get into the playoffs. And we're getting down here to the end. And like I said, we still got a lot of games. We can keep on playing good baseball and get the outs when we need to. And we'll be right where we need to be.
Mully and Hall, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Our thanks to the fine folks at WSCR for the broadcast. That is, those people are givers. And they're going to be giving you some stuff today, too. Giveaway Friday.
It's Giveaway Friday.
And you heard the voice there, dun-dun-dun, yeah. of Craig Kimbrell.
Dirty Craig.
Ooh.
He needs to clean it up.
Yeah. What if he came out clean-shaven? Would that make you feel better
about
him?
Listen, at this point, I'd take
anything?
It.
Try
yeah.
anything?
You're in a try-anything mode.
What if he went into the crane pose before he threw a pitch, as opposed to the whatever
what,
that
what would
is?
You describe the way that he, the predatory pose?
You know what? I think it's a predatory pose. I like the way that he's done it, and I'm so used to it. But I told you, I had relatives over from Ireland, and we were sitting there watching the Cub game. I turned the Cub game on, and Craig Kimbrell came in, and they started laughing. They thought he looked ridiculous. And I'm like, no, that's how he does it. It's kind of a... And
just wait till you see him pitch.
I know. It's hard to explain to somebody that doesn't watch the Cubs or isn't a baseball fan a lot why he does that and why, you know, how it started. And there's a whole backstory to that. But bottom line is he needs to get more people out. He was not good last night. But overall, you know, this is a difficult day for the Cubs to digest. Last night, though...
Thank God they play early. Honestly.
Yeah, I know.
That's
get it
a good
out of their
thing.
System.
Yes.
Get to the ballpark.
Move on.
Because, you know, Mully, we have been talking since last spring. The famous quote, October starts in March. We have been talking about this thing called urgency. And yesterday, I think we saw it more than in any other day of the year. You saw urgency in the approach Anthony Rizzo took to get back on the field.
Yes.
You saw urgency in the ninth inning after they fell behind 4-1. Baez was back. Kimbrell was back. Everybody was back for one single purpose, and that was to win the biggest game of the year. They lost it, and it was the toughest loss of the season.
They rallied and tied it in the ninth inning, and you felt like it was meant to be, and then it didn't happen.
And now the question is, as they left the ballpark, you have to wonder, are they done?
I think everyone today feels a sense of they are done. I think it's hard not to, because of exactly the reasons you're pointing out, David. But don't you get the sense? I mean, people around here, civically, just I think people feel like that's the end of the era.
I think
Joe could be not fired. Joe could be gone before the wild card game's over. Joe could be moved out of Chicago before that. That's how it feels.
The restaurant could be changing names, changing hands.
As long as it doesn't close down.
I think you could have a overarching Chicago sports poll question of the day. Where is your confidence level? Which is lowest? Who do you have least confidence in, the Cubs or Mitch Trubisky?
You know, both these things can turn around. And I know
they both can.
I know that no one wants to hear it. But if you come out this afternoon and you win a game, just win one game, then you gain a little bit of something. You bury what that today now becomes the most important game, whether you want to accept that or not, because it does feel like you lost more than a game last night.
Well,
Rizzo and
every day's opening day.
Well, what you lost last night was the ability to control your own fate, because you don't anymore. You could win the rest of the games, and if the Brewers win the rest of the games, they're in the playoffs, and you aren't. For the first time since April, you are on the outside looking in.
Yeah. If the season ended today, and thank God it doesn't, the Cubs are outside.
Right.
Now, that's really hard to take.
It's very hard to take for a team with the second highest payroll, with all the talent, with all the reasons to believe in the Cubs that we thought were there much of this season. You just thought that this was going to end differently. Maybe that's inaccurate. Maybe a lot of people expected all this to happen. I didn't. I thought this team would reach September, hit its stride, and win the division. I think they're talented enough to do it. The talent is the reason why you don't rule them out, and you can't discount them if they do get into the playoffs. But right now, things look pretty bleak.
Yeah, it doesn't just feel like the window closed. It feels like it took a couple of digits with it. You lost three fingers somehow when the window came down on you.
Yeah.
That's how it feels this morning. Now, again, maybe it feels different this afternoon. 312-644-6767 is the number. Ron is in Tinley Park. Good morning, Ron.
Good morning, Ron.
Morning, guys. How you doing? How are you guys?
Good.
All right.
Good. As much as you guys think the sky is falling, I think all three teams make the playoffs. And I tell you how. As long as the Cubs could kind of go 500 against St. Louis, Washington is the key, not Milwaukee. Milwaukee and St. Louis are getting it. Washington has a tough schedule. They got to play Philly five times and then close out with Cleveland, who's still fighting for a playoff spot. They're a major league team. As long as the Cubs can win some games, they squeak in for that one game. So kind of look at it that way.
Ron, I think that's a good point, because the five-game series with the Phillies is a schedule kind of anomaly. It's an odd thing, and you wonder about the Nationals because they have their own flaws. I mean, obviously we're picking apart the Cubs because you see them every day and you know what they aren't, but I think that if you look at the schedule, it's hard to say the Nationals is tougher than the Cubs, because the Cubs have to play the Cardinals six more times.
Listen, the Cubs have been playing 500 baseball for a very long time. Now, they've been losing, obviously, of late. Three in a row they've lost? So that's not good. But let's say they go 5-4 in the last nine. Are they getting in? Let's say they go 6-3. Are they getting in? You're running out of
6-3 might do it. 5-4, I think you're pushing it.
You're running out of time. And the fact that Milwaukee jumped you yesterday, that is a kick to a lower region.
Yeah, and the fact that the Brewers have the AAA Pirates in town for the weekend.
You can't rely on the Pirates to do anything. So your only chance is to make it happen against this team.
But I think Ron's onto something. I think the Brewers are in, but the Nationals might be the team to watch. And then
Brewers have won 12 of 14, and they've got a three-game set at home against Pittsburgh.
They're just going to stay hot, and they're doing it without Christian Yelich.
Maybe they end up winning the division.
Well, the Cubs could, if that's
the
case, and the Cubs are in.
If the Cubs do some damage to the Cardinals.
Yeah. If the Brewers win the division, then the Cubs and the Cardinals will be the wild card teams, because the Cubs will have done enough damage to the Cardinals for them to lose their lead. So, three teams from the Central is still conceivable. I think the Cubs just have to worry about cleaning things up, because they have not been sound on the bases.
Oh my God.
They have not been sound in the field.
Did you hear language when that Rizzo play, or excuse me, the Schwarber play happened?
Oh my gosh.
I could hear people swearing even though they weren't in my house. I could sense it was almost as if
echoing from the north side.
It was like the wind was carrying the a podcast into my brain. You'd have to hear that to understand the reference. I can't recommend it, sadly. Very crude. Larry is on the north side. Good morning, Larry.
Morning, Larry.
Morning. My opinion is that you could stick a fork in them. Because when the Pirates get to go to Milwaukee, which they don't want to do, I mean, that's probably the worst thing that happened, because they got all happy about beating the Pirates. Now, the Pirates going to Milwaukee, that's a sweep. That's a sweep for Milwaukee. And as far as Washington Nationals, did anybody heard of Scherzer, Strasburg, and Corbin?
Scherzer.
I've heard of them. Yeah.
They're pretty good.
I mean,
they're
really, pretty good. You think those three going to lose five in a row?
I didn't say five in a row. I didn't say they're going to lose five in a row. I said they have a five-game series with the Phillies that is odd, and I wouldn't – I think that's a difficult series for them, even with the pitchers. Scherzer just got beat the other day, didn't he? So, I mean, he is not Jack Flaherty. Maybe he is.
But he's not Craig Kimbrell either. Can we talk about Craig Kimbrell just for a second? I know we got to go to break here. Do you know how difficult it is to accumulate a negative 0.7 war in just 22 appearances? This guy has like been historically awful this year.
Kevin, when you give up seven home runs in 19 innings, that's going to do it. That's going to leave a mark.
It's going to do it.
Yeah.
Historically awful. Yeah.
I mean, for the money, consider the salary, and they got him on the hook for two more years after this.
I'd like to say something nice about Craig Kimbrell. I really would. 312-644-6767.
Still waiting.
I'd love to say something nice about him because I think he could use the lift this morning. Smalley and Haw on the score.
It's frustrating. I've been doing everything I can to get back out there, and our team battled till the very end, and we needed that, and pretty disappointed in myself to go out there and give up a home run like that. Tonight was a big game for us. We really needed it. Season's not over. We still got a lot of games left, but it definitely would have helped, and wish I would have pitched better.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 of the score. Do you give Craig Kimbrell any credit for facing the music and talking about it?
Well, yeah, I think you have to. He couldn't avoid it. It was there. He has to be a professional and do that. The bigger question is, do you give Craig Kimbrell the ball again today or tomorrow in a high-leverage situation? Kevin is shaking his head no, but I bet you Joe Maddon does. I bet you if the Cubs are leading today, 4-3 in the ninth inning, or maybe depending on how he feels today, I think we don't know about that, day game after night game, guy coming back from 16 games off. But the next time he is healthy enough to face a high-leverage situation, does Joe Maddon give him the ball? I bet you he does.
Well,
and I kind of understand it.
Should have been Rowan Wick in that game yesterday. I mean, he's been their best reliever all season
long. But, Kevin,
long.
He pitched the night before. So I think that's the other thing to consider. Look at all the bullpen arms that they used the night before. I understand why he went to Kimbrell last night in that situation. That's why he's here. It wasn't a save situation, but it was a close game. You needed those three outs because you thought the momentum was in your favor. You were going to get a walk-off in the 10th. I don't know.
I was saying I'd like to say something nice about Craig Kimbrell because I know how difficult this is for him, and I wanted to be able to say something kind for him. And a texter says he could really probably use a lift this morning and offers to pay for it as long as it's out of town. He spelled lift
with a
Y. Yeah, okay. Very clever. Yeah, I think he would prefer an Uber, and I'm sure that wouldn't be a problem.
Whatever gets him there.
Paying for it. Yeah, there you go. 312-644-6767. Are you an Uber man or a Lyft guy?
I'm an Uber guy.
Okay.
Yeah, Uber guy. Uber guy.
Does it come down to what you have on your phone? I mean, is there a different? Because oftentimes,
no. It comes down to what you want in dependability,
okay,
Mully.
But
you want me to read the spot?
Oh, I'm sorry. I know you do. The spot,
I mean, really? Do you want me to go there?
I do want you to go there because I often see different cars that have Uber and Lyft.
Yeah,
that it's sometimes
double
the same driver.
Yeah.
So sometimes there's reliability for everyone.
Yeah,
okay. That's smart. Given the fact that you're compensated. Bob is listening online. Hey, Bob.
Morning, Bob.
Morning, gentlemen. The Cubs, I'm sorry, are toast. The one thing that I keeps amazed that keeps me confused is that Craig Kimbrell was lousy down the stretch for Boston last year. He was in the playoffs last year. Nobody wanted him. Nobody went and got him. I just don't know how this pickup was ever going to solve any problem at all.
Well, you have to go back
in
context. The Cubs needed a closer. I don't believe
Brandon
the problem
Morrow was hurt.
Yeah, and I think the bigger problem with Craig Kimbrell, and maybe this is excuse making, is not signing him in June. It was not signing him in January. He needed a spring training. We're seeing the effects of a guy. Maybe he is done. Maybe he's done too. I don't know. But I think you're seeing the effects of a guy who needed spring training, didn't get it, and rushed to get back on the mound because he was signed in June. Had the Cubs signed him in January, would he still be as ineffective as he was? I don't know. Anyone can tell you that, but I have my doubts.
Let's get to Troy. He's in Carmel by the Sea, apparently.
No.
Hi, Troy.
By Indianapolis.
Hey, guys.
Beautiful
morning, Troy.
Oh, yeah. Thought it was Carmel by the Sea.
It's Carmel? Yeah, not by the sea.
Oh.
Not by the sea. Actually,
beautiful place.
Beautiful Midwest, and just love you guys in the morning. I was in Asia for 2 weeks and just got back and got the radio on, watched the Cubs last night.
Oh.
And disappointing. I know what you guys are saying about Kimbrel this morning. I actually texted my brother and said he should give some of his money back before the discussion. But
that doesn't happen. Yeah. I think you can make a list of guys that you'd like money back from. It's not that hard. And, you know, I think a couple of clever texters will suggest me. It doesn't happen. You can't have it. I think I already spent it. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Trey.
No, absolutely. But, you know, at the end of the day, I think you guys have hit it all. It's not about the talent. It's about the work and the production from the work. And right now, they're just not getting it from the right guys at the right time.
It's funny.
Good phone call, Troy.
We have a texter saying, and I think there's a hard comparison. Todd texts in and says that that Kimbrel, you know, how awful he's been. How do you give him the ball? He makes Cody Parkey look reliable. Is it the same thing? Does the price tag mean that you got to give him the ball?
No, the price tag is you're paying for past production. You're
yes.
paying for the reputation, and the reputation is why you give him the ball.
Okay.
He did not have a good postseason in 2018 with the Red Sox. He did not have a market that was necessarily dying to pay Craig Kimbrel what he wanted in the open market. The Cubs ended up paying a lot of money for him, that you know, the money that fell into their laps when Ben Zobrist was on the restricted list. They did what they had to do. I go back, and when they signed him, I thought it was going to be a difference-making move. Didn't expect this. I'm not sure anybody did.
It looked like need.
No, Kevin
it looked
did.
Like filling need.
A lot of people did.
It looked like you were filling a need. It looked like you got the best guy for the job you had open, and unfortunately hasn't been good enough. Let's try Joe. Joe's in Lombard. Hey, Joe.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good, Joe.
Hey, I go back a couple of days with Descalso sitting on second base with one out, and they don't do anything. Madden doesn't do anything to move the guy over to third, try and get a run in. What do you think about that?
Well, when the Cubs are struggling at the plate, they're doing those things that, or they're not doing the things that they do when they score runs. That's just their offense has been anemic too often with runners in scoring position and on base, and you saw it again last night. Chris Bryant had a really bad at bat. You see different examples of guys who don't get the job done. But offensively, yeah, they're challenged. They were facing some really good pitching last night, though.
Let's try Crowley in Wrigleyville. Hey, buddy.
I think, David, you brought it up a little bit, is that, you know, Kimbrel, I saw this last year when the Cardinals signed Brett Cecil. You can't have a guy who's been sitting out the whole season, throw him in the middle when everyone's been playing for 4 months and expect anything out of that. And that's, like I said, there's no reason that they shouldn't have gotten him in January or February. The other point I was going to make is, you know, I heard you, David, and I've heard other score hosts, and I've heard national guys you have on say, well, the Clubs clearly have the most talent. Theo warned about that kind of mentality about last season, about, well, we're going to turn it on because we're the Cubs. You know what? These other teams have caught up to you. You've come down to earth, and that just wasn't the mentality, and now we kind of are reckoning here.
Crowley, do you disagree that the Cubs don't have the most – do you think the Cubs don't have the most talent in that division?
All I can see is that right now they're on the outside looking in. Do they have the most talent? Maybe, but that – just having the most talent isn't good enough if you're not going to get it done.
Well, I agree with that, and I think that's a really good point because, you know, you look at the Brewers, for instance. You look at the rotation. Wouldn't you take the Cubs rotation over the Brewers every day and twice on Sunday? I mean, you would look at their roster.
I'd take 12 or 14.
Right.
That would be great.
Because I think Anthony Rizzo was talking about the Brewers the other day, and he said, you just don't see they have stars. And he was being respectful. They don't have stars. They don't have this. They have Yelich, but they don't have the collection
have
that the Cubs do, but they have a better team.
Let's try Dwayne. He's in Lombard. Hey, Dwayne.
Hey, good morning, guys. Happy Friday to you. I got two quick questions. First one is, now that Rizzo's back, do you think it was smart to bring him back? Because now it seems like the batting teams are going to bunt against him and maybe a situation to score a run. And you could see he's not clearly 100% to come run and get that bunt. It proved it yesterday.
Well, you're right. He did not play that well. You saw he was tentative, but I think you'd rather have him in the lineup for those isolated situations that may be the exceptions, because he also hit a home run. So I think that's why he's there. Yeah, he's back. If he can play today, he plays today. I don't think he's a liability defensively any more than anybody else in that lineup has been.
You know, that's a huge point, though. Defensively, they have not been nearly as good as they need to be.
Overall. I mean,
among the many things that we need to, you know, look, you spent $64 million on closers, right, between Kimbrel and Morrow, and they're basically guys you can't use in that position, as we learned last night. But the defense has been god-awful, too. Yeah.
All the things, guys, they did great during that 2016 World yes. Series run, they are doing this year.
Not even just 2016, just in general. Even last year, their defense has dropped off considerably this year. And you saw another example last night.
You talk about defense, you go up the middle, right? And how many second basemen have they used this year? I mean, it's been a black hole.
Too many.
$64 million, Mully, you bring up on Kimbrel and Morrow. The entire Brewers payroll is $128 million. So, you know, keep that in consideration.
Peter Gammons, MLB Network analyst.
Around the pole and gone.
Taking you inside Major League Baseball with the Hall of Famer, Peter Gammons.
Mully and Hall, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 to the score. Peter Gammons joins us on the St. Charles Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram Hotline, home of the real deal. Good morning, Peter. How are you?
Morning, Peter.
I'm doing well. I was just thinking that about 3 years ago, someone took me to an opera in Sanskrit, which was a long 4 hours of my life. But just going through the Cubs the last couple of days made me think of that Sanskrit opera. I don't understand it.
Welcome to the club, Peter.
There is a lot of, I don't know if I want to call it panic, just sort of disappointment, let's be honest about it. And, you know, it was one of these nights where it was all hands on deck and everybody out there. And you know, your guy, Jack Flaherty, you told us at the beginning of the year that he was going to be as great as he was this year. He was great. And then he leaves. You tie that game. And unfortunately, Craig Kimbrel comes in because they activated him yesterday, and he looked like a guy that hadn't pitched in a long time, and he gives up the home run to Carpenter. And you know, people are just kind of putting their heads in their car door and slamming it repeatedly on him. It's just very difficult to watch.
Well, it's just such a weird thing. I mean, when you look at the Cubs on the season, the only team with a better in the National League with a better run differential are the Dodgers. You know, they have a lot of guys who have had good years. You have Rizzo coming back and playing last night.
Did we lose Peter there?
We did lose Peter there.
We did lose Peter there. Mm. Yeah. He's trying to figure out the Cubs as well.
We'll reconnect with him. We'll make that happen.
Yeah, because he has got the right idea about what he's watching and what he's trying to process through. Difficult game to watch last night, and we got him back?
We do not.
Okay.
You know, look, here's the fact of life. The fact is you've invested a lot of money in Kimbrel. You want to say find a reason to love him. You want to say that there has got to be a way to sort of take this thing and make a positive out of it, but it doesn't feel that way right now. It certainly is not going to feel that way this morning, given everything
that's
going on.
You felt that way
after
one batter. I mean, well, 96 yeah. miles per hour, the velocity was there. You looked like he was a guy that you were, you know, was worthy of the trust. And then he gave up the home run to Carpenter, and that was
right.
it.
Let's get back to Peter Gammons. Peter, you were talking about Craig Kimbrel. Again, I don't know that he's under contract, so you got to find a way to love him. But, boy, that was a bad outing, and that was a tough situation.
It is. I mean, you know, he wasn't completely healthy at the end of last year, and with all the layoff, you just wonder exactly where is he at this point. I mean, he hasn't had a spring training. It's I don't know. It's very hard for me to watch him and say, I think he's back where he was in his salad days, either with the Braves or the Red Sox. And I that delivery is complex. And I don't know. He really struggled at the end last year in Boston. Admittedly, he was hurt, but still, I mean, and it's going to be terribly frustrating for him to come in, knowing how much he cares, to come into a situation where the Cubs facing sort of a life and death situation here just to be in the playoffs and be in the wild card. It's a strain on him, and it's bizarre. I mean, the Brewers go out and get the immortal Jordan Lyles, and they're 9-1 in his starts. He's allowed more than one or two earned runs once in 10 starts. It's so hard to understand what's happening there. I do tend, especially having lost the expected MVP in Yelich, that I have great admiration for the Brewers. I mean, they play with something that's really hard to understand, but they have such heart, and they're very tough. But at the same time, the Cubs are a better team, and yet, you know, it just hasn't functioned that way. They really need to win at least four out of the six games remaining with the Cardinals. I mean, it's because the Brewers just aren't going away.
Our conversation with Peter Gammons brought to you by Miracle, the musical inspired by the Chicago Cubs. Peter, a lot of conversation this week around the Bob Nightingale report in USA Today saying that baseball people would be surprised if David Ross isn't the Cub manager by Thanksgiving. And I guess there are a lot of layers to that, but I guess from your perspective, David Ross, you know the situation. Does he want to manage? Is that a given that he wants to come back and you know, re-enter the grind, if you will, 162-game season, spring training, and all that comes with it?
I've talked to him about it a few times, and it's still hard because, you know, it really is a family separation. I mean, what he does, he works, and he's great at it, but he does, you know, three nights of television and put this time home. And it's hard to give that up and ride in the front seat in the bus, for 180 nights in a season. And plus all that goes into preparing for spring training and the spring training schedule, seeing if you can beat Walt Riniak in the ballpark at 3:30 in the morning. You know, I think he'd do it, but at the same time, it's something that he'll weigh very carefully, and I think he has to be adequately compensated. I don't think that owners in baseball, I think the Cubs are fine, but I don't think there's enough appreciation for what managers do. I mean, there are a friend of mine who was a scout with the Orioles, did a study, and he showed that the percentage of the coaches in the top 25 in NCAA baseball had more people making over $1 million than the percentage of managers in the major leagues. And, I mean, college coaches do a lot, but they don't do what major league managers do. Not close, especially today, with the analytic preparation that goes on from about noon every day.
It was weird because that report is there and it's out there, and Rossi is in town, and he was doing the game one night, and then he was in Theo's box last night, and you couldn't help but think that if the way things are right now, the Cubs are on the outside looking in, Joe could be packing up the trailer and leaving town before the wild card game.
I guess that's a possibility. I don't know. I mean, maybe to bring back Rossi to catch John Lester in the playoff game. I think he would be a great manager. I really do. I mean, he's just an unusual person. But at the same time, there's so much that goes into it. And, you know, I mean, Joe knows that. He's done everything in baseball. But, you know, I mean, there are always interesting movers that go. People have said to me, what happens if the Angels start to struggle again early next year? What does that do to Billy Epler as general manager? And who do they go to bring it? But is there also not going to be the idea, okay, we'll bring back Joe Maddon, who was their minor league director. He did everything for the Angels over the years. A devotee of Gene Mark, in my mind, the smartest man I've ever met in baseball. And, would that satisfy the Anaheim fans if they don't get Gerrit Cole and they're living in the shadow of the Dodgers? I don't think, if this doesn't work out with the Cubs, I don't think Joe will be unemployed very long. I do believe that he'll go somewhere else. And I'd hate to see Brad Ausmus lose his job, because I think Brad is a terrific manager. But at the same time, I could see that Artie Marino probably wants to see Joe Maddon come in. And for instance, a Dave Dombrowski, Joe Maddon combination in Anaheim is not an unthinkable fantasy.
So, Peter, do you think there's a scenario which Joe Maddon could return?
I think so, but I think these just, I mean, guys have played well there, but something hasn't finished. I don't know what it is, but I think Joe, one way or another, is going to be managing, if not this next year, how great would he be on television? Anyway.
That's why they should. I was saying, if it's about money, just pay him from the TV network. Do like a 24-hour reality show. Here's Joe sipping wine. Here's Joe going to bed. Oh, Joe just woke up. I mean, that would be one way of compensating him the way he wants, but I don't think that's what it's about.
No, I don't either. And I don't know if Joe wants to work for Sinclair either. I just think that there's too much there, and I think that the fact that he's done everything in baseball. I mean, run the instructional league for the Angels 14 years. I mean, I think there's so much to be had with his background and the understanding of analytics, which he learned from Andrew Friedman. I think this is. He's still an extremely attractive guy with a lot of energy that a lot of teams would die to have come in. And there are a lot of teams that are I think this winter are going to be looking. I think there are going to be a lot of turnovers in the general manager area, and I think there's going to be a surprising number of turnovers in the managerial area.
Peter, thanks a ton. We appreciate your time,
Peter.
As always. Have a great weekend.
All right, and I hope the traffic there in Chicago is lightened up by the next time we're on together.
Me too.
Never. All right, buddy.
You,
thank you. That's
thanks
Peter
okay.
Gammons. Peter Gammons, always a joy to talk to him. You know what? I know he said, well, I could see that happening. Let me tell you something. Peter, count him among the people who know that Joe is gone.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Had to ask him, though.
Yeah,
I mean,
he
painted a picture where he could see him coming back, and I don't know.
But
that
he reluctantly did it because you asked the question.
Well,
I don't think he's.
Many other people are painting that picture.
No, but if you listen to what he was saying, it sounds like, well, he's coming back as a manager. But and he also said it's not about
getting
the money.
Into the playoffs creates more ambiguity. If you don't make the playoffs, it removes it.
Fair enough. No.
Listen up closely, Snowflake.
And the Sinclair comment was there for you.
A little swipe there. You knew that was coming.
Yeah. Well, that's good. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 of the Score.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.